debate if you join in. That's why I need your SMS, I need your email, and above all, I need your telephone calls at the numbers and addresses coming up on the screen throughout the show. You can call me on 44208-601-4555. We'll even call you back. But if you get on the air, make sure your television is switched off. Well, new evidence is emerging about the great financial effort that was made to win the elections for the current majority in Lebanon. A tremendous amount of money. People being flown from the United States, being given thousands of dollars in order to do so, just to cast their vote, as long as they voted the right way, of course. And the British Parliament voted the wrong way this week to set up an inquiry into the Iraq war, which will command no credibility and be greeted with derision by most of the people who long ago concluded that Britain made a grave blunder and may have been the victim of a grave crime in the joining of the George Bush attack on Iraq. And of course, the reverberations of the Iranian elections continue to shake, and news coverage of small demonstrations in Iran is out of all proportion to the coverage of large demonstrations in Britain. But hey, that's the way the freedom of the press goes. Let's take a telephone call first and foremost. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hi, good evening, George. It's Vanessa from London.
Good evening, Vanessa. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about the President Ahmadinejad. He is the best thing that ever happened since revolution in Iran, because he is very popular, he is very knowledgeable, and he always speaks the truth. He is very respected among the people who cherish the truth. And then, when all this election happened, whatever they are saying abroad or in the West, the outcome of election would not have changed, because he would still have won the election. But the United States, Britain or Germany, most of these countries, you know, that are ruled by the Zionists or controlled by the Zionists, or where Zionists have a big influence in media and the politics, they use this election fever in Iran to infiltrate the foreign element into the Iran and to make all this mess. So the Fox and CNN TV, who are actually owned, and these are the Zionist television, they were trumpeted the whole time of fraudulent statements and the witnesses and everything on TV. But where were they when the Gaza, when the genocide of Gaza was happening?
Because that's not anything. Because they're Zionists, Vanessa. If by Zionists you mean Jews, I absolutely reject that. Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News and Sky News, he's not a Jew. He certainly supports Israel because he supports imperialism. And all who support imperialism support the Zionist state of Israel. Neither do I accept that the millions of people on the streets protesting about the election result in Iran are somehow Zionists or cat's paws of Zionists. They are, for the most part, an overwhelming majority, ordinary Iranian citizens who are exercising their rights to protest against what they think was an improper election. Just about the one thing I did agree with you on is that Ahmadinejad won the election. I predicted here some weeks ago that he would. I believed that the Guardian Council of Guardians, that is the organ charged with overseeing elections in Iran, would discover no major irregularities. And that's exactly what they've said today, that there were no major irregularities. The problem with Western journalists is that they spend most of their time in capital cities, around about their five-star hotels, looking for people who can speak English, and who Twitter, and who Facebook, and who MySpace. And whilst the opinions of those people is absolutely legitimate and valid, by definition, that can only be a small proportion of any foreign country, and it's a small proportion of Iran. The truth is that the mass of the poor in Iran, the mass of the population in the rural areas, voted for Ahmadinejad. And as I said here last week, the CNN opinion poll, taken 2 weeks before the election, produced a prediction which was borne out almost to the percentage point in the actual election. Now, if you ask me, Western governments and intelligence agencies and some media outlets including the Bush and Blair Corporation, the BBC, have been doing their best to encourage not demonstrations, not peaceful demonstrations within the constitution of Iran, but to generate a counter-revolution, to overthrow the Islamic Republic. And in that, they have dismally failed. Thanks very much for your call. Let's take another one. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hello, Mr. Galloway. Hello, I'm Abu Hanifa from Chesterfield, Derbyshire.
You're welcome. Go ahead, sir.
I'm referring to Iranian election. I always had respect and I like the President Ahmadinejad. And he's a good fighter, and he's one of the very few who stands up against bullies like the United States and Israel. I hope he will come out of this successfully, to back to the arena and fighting against these bullies.
Well, I'm absolutely sure that he's going to come out of it successfully. I never had any doubt about that. He is the president of Iran, and all countries will have to deal with him as the duly elected president of Iran. There isn't any way around that. Nobody knows what happened in the counting house any more than we know what happened in the counting house in Florida. We have to accept that George Bush was the president, even though we have grave doubts about the election in Florida in the year 2000. And we'll have to accept that President Ahmadinejad is the president of Iran. And Iran is an important country. It's not some kind of backwater on the dark side of the moon that's requiring the British Parliament, with its great credentials for democracy, I must say, gravely damaged in recent weeks and months, in order to teach them how to govern their country. Iran is a sovereign state, an important state, represents a huge and historic civilization. It has issues with the rest of the governments of the world, and the governments of the world will have to deal with the government of Iran on those issues. I agree with you that Ahmadinejad has stood up for the Palestinian people, unlike almost all of the Arab leaders. Chavez and Ahmadinejad were and Erdogan in Turkey were the only leaders to stand up for the Palestinian people. Government leaders, I mean. I don't mean Nasrallah. He also did, but he's not a government leader. That's not to say that Ahmadinejad has never made mistakes. He's made quite a number of mistakes, including serious mistakes, and I hope that he will learn from the events of the last few weeks and correct those mistakes and not make them again in future. Thanks very much. Remember, these are my own personal views on this show. I don't speak for Iran, and Iran doesn't speak for me. Let's stay on the comment wall and take another email. This one is from Nigeria. Azikwe. Imagine how BBC and CNN are encouraging protests to send videos and pictures from Iran, but cannot do the same for the Gazans during the Israeli massacre. They cannot even show the daily abuse of Palestinians or ask the White House to condemn the hypocrites. Well, my friend, I was in the United States earlier this week, and I actually heard on Fox News somebody say that it was a disgrace that President Obama was not standing up against injustice in the Middle East. They didn't mean Palestine, of course, they meant Iran. And the double standard is so obvious. I have organized and marched at the front of huge demonstrations of hundreds of thousands of people, which hardly gained a word, a line in the newspapers. Indeed, whenever we complain, we're told by the newspapers that it's not their policy to cover demonstrations, unless they're in Tehran. Of course. Now, let's take another email on the comment wall. Let's see what this one says and where it's from. Remember, we want your country up here. We want your opinion. K.A. from Unknown. If Mousavi really cares about his country's well-being, then he should know that inviting his supporters to protests and chaos will result in what the enemies of Iran want. As Iran's wise leader advised, resolving the election dispute will be fixed only through legal channels and a recount of the disputed ballots. People of Iran should know the value of their country's independence and not fall into the trap that imperialists and their other enemies are dreaming for them. Well, I saw that our old friend Paul Wolfowitz was calling on CNN this very day for the United States government and its agencies, I presume, to begin a conversation with Mir Mousavi. If I were him, I wouldn't return the call from Paul Wolfowitz. Nothing good could come of it. Now, let's take another email on the comment wall. They're coming in thick and fast. This one is from Ali Abbas Molu from Tanzania. President Obama says the world is watching Iran. How about the US killing innocent Afghani children? Is the world not watching? Well, the blood of some people in this world, I'm afraid, is more valuable than the blood of others. And it depends who's shedding the blood, too. The blood of Iranians wasn't worth much when Britain and America were supporting Iraq when it invaded and created an 8-year war with Iran. The blood of Iranians was cheap then. There was no television coverage of people bleeding in Iran then. But of course now there is. The bleeding of the Palestinians gained scant comfort and coverage from the Western media. And of course any demonstrations of Palestinians shot down by Israeli occupation forces can scarcely make it onto the news at all. Let's take another email on the comment wall. This one from Fazal Ansari from India. I wonder if the BBC and others, joined now by the Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya, are doing any good to journalism by presenting biased coverage of events in Iran. They glorify violence and terrorism in Iran, but downplay it when rogue states unleash it in Gaza and Kashmir. They can fool themselves, but not the conscious world. Who better than us Kashmiris to know their double standards? Kashmir's uprising was never an issue for BBC, CNN, etc., but unsettling the only democracy in the region is. Shame on the so-called free media. Well, Fazal, they're not a free media at all. They merely describe themselves as such, and they do so often enough that some deluded people believe them. They support. If you take the BBC Farsi language channel, for example, which is paid for by the British taxpayer through the Foreign Office, through the intelligence side of the British Foreign Office. No one can question it, no one can debate it, even in Parliament. No one can call it to account, even in Parliament. Now, why do you think that the BBC just this January started a Persian language television station? Just this January, with all the languages in the world and all the stations that they've closed, all the languages that they have cut off broadcasting in, why do you think they decided to open a Persian language station in January? Have a guess. Let's take another email on the comment wall. This one is from Yasmin Husseini from Iran. The head of Al-Qaeda, affiliated Jundullah, Abdul Malik Righi, has admitted receiving assistance from the terrorist group MKO. Their latest outrage was a suicide bombing in a Shia mosque in Zahedan, killing 25 worshippers and injuring 100 2 weeks ago. There are many reports of collaborations between the MKO and Jundullah. In a significant admission, Righi told a US-based TV station, they, the MKO, have had good intelligence, collaborations with us, and have provided us with much information about the activities of the Iranian regime. Well, I don't know the facts on that, Yasmin, but I wouldn't be at all surprised. The so-called MKO is an international terrorist organization. It's proscribed in Britain. It was proscribed in the European Union by its own admission. It is responsible for hundreds of terrorist attacks, which have killed thousands of people and maimed many thousands more. And when I was in the United States, I saw an op-ed in one of the posh papers saying that the United States should reevaluate its policy relations with the MKO because the MKO were a potential alternative government in Iran. Heaven help us, were that ever to happen. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from? Hello.
Hello, sir, Mr. Galloway.
Yes.
Nice to talk to you, sir.
Where are you, sir?
Actually, I'm originally from Bangladesh.
Okay.
But I'm living in Luton.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Actually, I want to talk about the recent election in Iran.
Yeah.
And my message is that I've been watching all the negative news from BBC, CNN, and many others, even Al Jazeera. But my message is the Iranian people have chosen the right person. Mr. Ahmadinejad is the president of Iran, and regardless of everything, West has to deal with him. It's not because he's a tough man. He's a tough man for the West, but he is a good man for the Iran. This is the message. And the
That's right, and the president of Iran is responsible to the people of Iran, not to the people of the West. It's very strange, the attitude of Al Jazeera, I must say. After all, there aren't any elections at all in the country that pays for them. There aren't any elections at all in any of the Arab countries in that region. In fact, other than Palestine, there aren't any free and fair elections in any Arab country at all. From Marrakesh to Bahrain, there are no free elections. So I'm not sure what Al Arabiya and Al Jazeera have really got much of a locus so far as commenting on the fairness of other people's election, don't you think? Thanks very much indeed for your call. Let's take another call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Thanks very much indeed for your call.
Turn your television down, please.
Hold on, 1 second, please.
Please, if you get through to the show, please turn your television down.
Hi, George, how are you?
Yes, good. Where? Who's this?
This is Layla from London.
Okay, Layla, go ahead.
Yeah, I have some message for the Iranian people, I think. The Iranian people should learn a lesson from what happened to Iraq, what happened to Afghanistan, what happened to Pakistan, who hands up to the West and America, especially. So, and there hasn't been any peaceful demonstration, what they said, why the Iranian regime are so harsh to the demonstrations. There wasn't any peaceful demonstration. They were throwing stones, setting fire to the private property. That's not allowed in any country, and the people in the West should know that.
No, that's not allowed in any country, and the security forces would deal with it harshly in any country, including our own, as we saw in the recent G20 demonstrations in London, where a few thousand demonstrators who posed no threat to the state at all were bludgeoned, captured on Twitter, captured on Facebook, captured on YouTube, but long forgotten about by the Western media. One man was even killed by a policeman, and we saw it on a camera. Now, there are people who are not demonstrating in Iran, but trying to mount a counter-revolution to overthrow the Islamic Republic, and with guns. The MKO that I spoke about earlier are openly stating that they are involved in the streets of Iran, and that they are armed. But the vast majority of demonstrators were neither MKO, nor armed, nor destroying property, nor harming anybody. And the constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran allows for peaceful, non-violent protest. And it's very important that people's rights to demonstrate in any country are recognized and supported. But terrorism and violence will not be accepted by any government anywhere. Thanks for your call. Let's take another one. Yes, hello, caller.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Sayed speaking from Brighton.
Yes, welcome, sir.
I wanted to ask you something, and that is, how many countries have had an election where the people who have lost have been able to overturn the verdict of the people?
Well, certainly not in the United States, that's for sure, because George Bush stole the election, but it didn't mean he wasn't president, because the judges voted by 5-4, a majority of them appointed by his own father, by President Reagan when his own father was vice president. Many people believe that the 2004 election was stolen also in the state of Ohio. Nobody can overturn elections in somebody else's country. No one can really know what happened in the polling booth or in the counting house in other people's elections. But my characterization of this demonstration earlier in the show and in many other weeks, the characterization of the great majority of the demonstrators as being the privileged, English-speaking, well-educated, better-off residents of North Tehran is, I'm afraid, the truth. They were not joined by a general strike of workers in Iran. They were not joined by the millions from the poor areas of Tehran, let alone any other city. This, I think, buttresses my argument that Ahmadinejad won the election because he has the allegiance of the vast majority of the poor and of the rural in Iran. He's not very popular in North Tehran, and they've all got access to Twitter. Alternative views are kept out of the British media. Now, I'm against blocking media. I'm in favor of 1,000 medias competing. That's why Press TV is so important. It's a voice for the voiceless, as you can read on the buses in London, advertising the station just right at this moment. Let's take an email on the comment wall. This one is from Anonymous. Stable, strong Iran is not what the foreign media's players would want. They didn't support Iran in an imposed war. They all ganged up against Iran during Iran's needed period of support and assistance. Well, of course, this is undeniably true. The British and American governments overthrew the democratically elected government of Dr. Mossadegh in Iran and reimposed the tyrant Shah and gave him every support over decades. They opposed the overthrow of the Shah, the British government, until the very last day that he ruled the country. I know, because it was a Labour Foreign Secretary, David Owen, who was doing it. And as a Labour Party member, I was condemning him for it. That's how long I go back. Now, the truth is, the Western countries supported the war on Iran in the 1980s, armed the invader of Iran in the 1980s, set up a Persian language station in January of this year for reasons which are not too difficult to discern. So why would Iran, why would the majority in Iran, why would the government of Iran be suspicious about the activities of Western countries? Go figure. Let's take another email on the comment wall. They're coming in thick and fast this evening. Bortier from Unknown. Double standards. It's amazing how much interest Western media show in the Iranian election just because it didn't serve their interest. Western media weren't interested in elections in Uzbekistan because the Uzbek dictator and his daughter serve Western interests. I guess that makes it okay for them to rob its citizens of elections and use the country's wealth for their family's interests. Well, my friend, I couldn't have put that better myself. But I will try to in the second half of the show. This is Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, each and every week at this time, broadcasting from central London. It's intended to be a debate. That's why I need your SMS, I need your emails, and above all, I need your telephone calls. 44208-601-4555. We'll even call you back. I'll be back after the news with the second half of Comment. So don't go away. It's likely to be as fast-paced as the first. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. The big conversation, the great debate, but only if you join in. We're talking about the expensively purchased elections, expensive for somebody anyway, in the Lebanon. We're talking about the fake inquiry which has been announced by Gordon Brown into the British government's role in the war and occupation of Iraq. And of course, we're talking about the reverberations of the disputed presidential election in Iran. You can call me on 44208-601-4555. We'll even call you back. But remember, turn your television down if you get through to the show. Now, this week, we're going to look at just two cartoons, but both of them are brilliant. They've caught the editor's eye this week. Let's see them here on the comment wall. This one is from the Daily Telegraph. This is the redaction. This has become famous, these lumps of black ink, because that's what MPs' expenses were covered in when they were finally made public. So that's the Iraq inquiry being redacted, being censored by Tony Blair as he uses these redaction steps up to the EU presidency, which many people feel is what he hankers after. Well, if there's one thing that would make the EU even less popular in Britain than it already is, it would be that grinning war criminal Tony Blair as its president. I advise them not to do it. But this, the Daily Telegraph's take on the openness of the Iraq inquiry. This is from The Times, from Peter Brooks, a brilliant cartoonist, the great offices of state and parliament, the silver stick, I'm not making that up, there really is a man called the silver stick, there is a man called the pursuivant of arms, and there is a man called Black Rod, though he's never black, he's a very military officer, as the nose in the air will show you. But there's a new post in parliament now, the black redactor, the redactor being the black pen which censors out the sensitive details of MPs' expenses. That's from the Times. Excellent. Two good cartoons there. Let's take another telephone call because these two are coming in thick and fast. Yes, hello, caller. Where are you calling from?
Hello, hi. This is Mariam. I'm calling from London.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Galloway. There are a few points I wanted to mention about the Iranian election.
Yeah.
If the Guardian Council, the Iranian government, is not afraid of any miscounting or mishandling the votes in larger scales, why the Guardian Council doesn't accept a recount of the votes while Ms. Angela Merkel has asked them? And while they did 10% of the votes, they recounted 10%. It proves that there have been some miscounting. And just these are the facts I'm just mentioning. In many cities, the number of the votes cast is more than the number of the people who could go and vote. Or Mr. Mohsen Rezai, who was from the same circle of the closer people to Mr. Khamenei. He comes from this village where 900 people have voted. More than 800 have voted for Mr. Ahmadinejad. While this is totally ridiculous, because Iranians are totally close to their family relations and they vote based on family and tribes and everything. This was the biggest vote rigging in the history of voting fraud. And if anybody calling from Tanzania and Nigeria and anywhere else calls that this has not been the case, why don't they go to Iran on a return ticket if they're there just to see what's happening there?
Well, thanks for your call. Let's deal with some of the facts, as you call them, that you put forward. First of all, the 10% of the votes that they recounted, they did so randomly, in the presence, or at least offered in the presence, of the representatives of all the candidates. These 10% of the votes were to be counted randomly to see if they tallied. Now, no country will agree to recount every single vote that's been cast in an election because the losers of the election ask them to. That's simply not credible. If we did that, in every country in the world, the elections would never finish. You see, losers of elections are always upset. I've lost elections myself. And believe me, it's painful. So I know the pain that the losers of the Iranian election are feeling. But the offer was there for 10% of the ballots to be counted, again, in the presence of the representatives. The Guardian Council is the organ in Iran whose duty is to oversee elections. Now, we can't invent a new one. We can't allow the opposition to be the arbiter of what happens in the election. We can only go by the official organs of the state. And that's what they have said. However, the Supreme Leader, Khamenei, has said that the period of consultation and checking will be extended by 5 days. And that is underway now. I really caution the people who say that this is a ballot which was rigged. With respect, Mariam, in London or not, you have no way of knowing who voted for which candidate in which town or city. And your characterization of the Iranian people as this, and you even said according to tribes, does with of the highly sophisticated, well-civilized, highly developed electorate in Iran, where every person has at least one political point of view. But thanks for your call. In any case, let's take another call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Fahim. I'm calling from London.
Welcome, sir.
I understand you're against interference in any countries, and I understand that if anybody comments on the Iranian elections, you're trying to be on the defense. But never mind. The Iranian government has been, for the past 30 years, interfering in Afghanistan, and they are supporting the warlords like Hezb-e Wahdat, Khalili, Mazari, Muhakkik, and these are the ones who have been butchering Afghans for the past 32 years. Well, if Ahmadinejad is, again, is elected, and he's elected leader, will he stop his interference in Afghanistan by supporting the criminal warlords?
Well, I'm certainly...
Will it stop, or can we ask them to...
Well, as you're asking me, so here's the answer. I'm certainly not here to defend any Iranian policy over the last 32 years. In fact, many of their policies over the last 32 years I have opposed. What I'm saying is that the United States and Britain cannot choose the president of Iran. Only the people of Iran can choose their president. And what policies Iran follows thereafter will be a matter for the Iranian people. And some of them I'll support, and some of them I will oppose. But as you're concerned about foreign interference in Afghanistan, you might actually look beyond whatever interference you say comes from Iran to the huge armies of American and British and Canadian and German and French and other foreign armies which are occupying the vast majority of Afghanistan. And some of those armies are killing very large numbers of Afghans. I wonder if you would condemn that just as strongly as you've condemned what you say is Iranian interference in another part of Afghanistan. Let's take another call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from? Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello, George. My name is Mohsen. I'm calling from Chester in England.
You're welcome.
I'll be honest with you. I'm in aid of Mr. Ahmadinejad because what I saw proved to me this man is a very honorable man. Because on the debate he had with Mr. Mousavi, he looked at him in the eyes and he told him, you are corrupt. When you was the prime minister of Iran, you abused your power by doing that, getting your wife a degree, getting your wife a job. As far as I'm concerned, Mr. Mousavi didn't take that very well. And now he used this debate of the I have not been, the vote being racked, etc., as his personal argue against Ahmadinejad. Personally, myself, I wish to see Mr. Ahmadinejad in power, and I will promise you, in Iran, going to be so successful, because only thing hold my country back is a corruption.
Well, what he said about Mir Mousavi's wife was untrue. And he was rebuked for saying it by the Supreme Leader. So we shouldn't be praying that one in aid. But you're right. One of the reasons why certain people, including certain very prominent people, are so strongly for the overthrow of Ahmadinejad is that he has begun to threaten and crack down on their personal corruption. I make no comment about Mousavi. I know nothing about him being a crook, as you have said. But Rafsanjani, for example, and his family have become vastly, vastly wealthy in the period since the Iranian Revolution. And Ahmadinejad openly challenged the means by which they garnered this fantastic wealth, the wealth of kings they have garnered. Now, it's undoubtedly true, as I've said here many times, that Mir Mousavi's connection to Rafsanjani was a very big mistake and probably cost him a good deal of support in the country, maybe even cost him the election, who knows. So, corruption in Iran, Ahmadinejad is not corrupt, he lives in exactly the same way that he lived before he became the president, he's an honest person, he's often a mistaken person, but he's an honest person, and most people in Iran who share your view that corruption is a complete cancer in the life of a country, support him because of his anti-corruption credentials. Let's take another telephone call. This one from where? Yes, caller.
Yes. Hello. Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening to you.
Yes, my name is Melina and I'm calling from Lincolnshire.
Yes.
And I'm watching your program Comment with great fascination, and I respect your fighting spirit. Very briefly, I wanted to comment on the Iranian election. During the debate, the live debate with Mr. Ahmadinejad and Mr. Mousavi, Mr. Mousavi came out with a comment that Iran was losing its dignity or has lost its dignity or words like that. And I'm wondering, after the election, Mr. Mousavi came out declaring himself a winner. I mean, where is the dignity in that? I think he has zero dignity to declare himself a winner, and I would like your comment on that.
Well, I think that Mousavi has played the whole post-election scenario entirely wrongly. He has not followed the rules and the laws of the Islamic Republic, of which he was once an integral part. He has undoubtedly organized events that were guaranteed to run out of control, that would be out with his control, that would be infiltrated by people who are definitely not intent on making him the president of Iran. I can assure you of that. If he thinks the MKO are trying to put him into power, then he's got a very serious thinking to do. The cult of the personality of the MKO has only one potential president in mind, and it's not Mousavi. I do think that, for example, on the conference that was called in Tehran, to which known and infamous Holocaust deniers were invited by President Ahmadinejad, was very undignified, was a serious mistake, allowed the enemies of Iran a very great deal of ammunition with which to attack Iran. These are the kind of mistakes to which I referred earlier that I hope will not be repeated. Thank you very much indeed for your call. Let's take an email on the comment wall. This one from Tehran, Shima. George, you are anti-American, anti-British, you're anti-Israel, now you're anti-Iran. Congratulations. Well, Shima, I am British, so it's not possible for me to be anti-British. I'm the great-grandson of the only woman in the 19th century who emigrated from America to Britain. She may have got on the wrong boat, but that's exactly what she did. So I have American blood in my veins. And how could anybody in their right mind be against America? I was there earlier this week. I'll be there again on Saturday. I come and go there a lot. I love America. I love the American people. I love their president. So I'm definitely not anti-American. As for being anti-Iran, that's just silly. I mean, just contemplate what you're saying there. You mean I'm anti your perception on the election results in Iran? I hope we can agree that that's a rather different thing. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, caller? Hello?
Hello, George.
Yes.
Hi there, this is Ali from UK.
Go ahead.
Just a brief comment on the situation of Iran. I can't understand why the people of Iran are posting on Twitter, why not they're referring to the judicial system of Iran if they want to make their voice heard. I mean, do they have any faith on their judicial system? I mean, in Pakistan, we fought 8 years against our dictatorship, and then after election, we won the election, and now we've got a democratic government in Pakistan. So why not they trust on their own system and go to the judiciary rather than playing in the hands of the foreign players?
Well, that's a very good point. Trust me, if the Iranians had a dictatorship, they would overthrow it. They overthrew the last one, after all, which was the greatest and most powerful dictatorship in the entire region, and there was a lot of competition for that title. The Iranian people will not put up with dictatorship. And you mustn't confuse a few thousands this week, a few hundreds of thousands last week, with the majority of a country of 70 million. And I know that you're not confusing that, but some are. And that's because they don't really know and understand Iran at all. They don't understand the Islamic Revolution. They don't understand the Islamic character of Iran. They don't know what it's like out in the rural areas where the women will hurry by without wishing to talk in English to John Simpson of the BBC. They don't know what happened in the slums and where the poor people live in Iran and have always lived, and who were the bedrock of the Islamic Revolution and who I believe are the bedrock of Ahmadinejad's support today. I said all this before the election, by the way, in this very place, on this very program. Thanks very much for your call. Here's an email on the comment wall. This one is from Hussein from Tehran. George, I've seen media in the world reporting lies about what's happening in Tehran. There was one woman reporting lies to CNN. She was a civilian. Completely made things up. Why? Well, I don't know which interview, of course, to which you refer, so I can't comment on that. It's not necessarily a lie. In any case, people have different perceptions. Everything in life depends on which side of the telescope you're looking through. And those who really, you know, it's like when Labour won a landslide victory in Britain in 1945, Lady Astor, one of the English aristocracy, said, "That cannot possibly be true. Everyone I know voted Conservative." Well, of course, everyone she knew did vote Conservative. The problem was, she only knew people that voted Conservative, if you get my meaning. Let's take another telephone call, why don't we? Yes, caller, where are you going? Where are you coming from? Yes, hello.
Hello, hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Where are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm calling from London. My name is Ghulam Asghar.
Welcome.
Yeah. I'm happy to listen to a different person on the TV. It seems that all the media has turned against Iran. We only appreciate Iran that it does not follow east or west. If they start following the west, they will fall in a pit from where they will never be able to come out. Will Gordon Brown accept the demands of IRA if they turned on the streets of London in millions, destroying the property and everything? And secondly, if Iranians want to throw this system, I wonder why they threw Shah's dictatorship and brought in this system. Now why they want to throw away this system if it is correct?
Well, let's be clear about this. The Iranian people have the right to elect their president. And the Iranian people have the right to protest peacefully and demonstrate peacefully. Both of those truths have to be defended, and I'm trying to defend them. I'm not, you see, a part of the gang who wants to kick Iran at this time. But the rest of the media, most of the rest of the media, is. They hate the Islamic Republic of Iran. They've always hated it. They hated it when their governments were supporting the Iraqi regime when it invaded and occupied Iran, when Iran lost a million casualties in an eight-year war which was supported by the West. They hate everything to do with the Islamic Republic. They hate Iran's pursuit of nuclear energy, for example. They hate Iran's military, cultural, religious strength. So they want to weaken it. And those who are demonstrating in Iran should be careful about getting into bed with people who actually hate their country, who would have supported an attack on their country, who, if there had been an Israeli or American attack on their country in the last 24 months, would have supported that attack. I'm all for the democratic rights of the Iranian people being respected, and people must be allowed to protest when they disagree with something that's happened in their country, but they should not make alliances with people who actually hate them at the end of the day. Thanks very much. Let's take another call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hello, George. My name's Wahid. I'm calling from Wolverhampton. How are you, sir?
Very well. Thanks for calling.
Good. Okay, wonderful show. First thing I just wanted to say was what's happening in Iran, it should be left up to the Iran authorities to deal with, not be meddled with anybody else. If this situation arose a couple of years ago, I'm sure the West would have gone in with the sanctions and stuff. Unfortunately, because of Obama coming on board now, nobody wants another war. This is the only way they are destabilizing Pakistan and Iran at the same time to dominate the pull of the Middle East.
Well, I think that's a very good point. The truth is that the Western countries have been waiting for an opportunity to have a go at Iran. They believed for a few days, I think only, that this might be the moment. Anybody who thinks Paul Wolfowitz has the best intentions towards Iran has obviously just been let out of the asylum for the weekend. Paul Wolfowitz and the kind of hyenas who are yelping at the Iranian election from the outside, from the Western media, actually hate the Islamic Republic and would like to bring it down. That's the long and the short of it. Thanks very much indeed for your call. Let's take an email on the comment wall. This one is from Matthew Elliott. Iran has chosen an Islamic Republic. We should not question their rights. That's akin to saying Israel has a Jewish Republic and its democracy should not be subject to outside probity. 12-man gerontocratic guardian council, blah, 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 blah. Well, Matthew Elliott, I think I've got the gist of your very long email. I don't have time to deal with it. I just want to say that your contention that Bahrain and Qatar are emerging democracies really calls everything that you've written in the preceding paragraphs into utter disrepute. You'll be telling me next that Saudi Arabia is an emerging democracy. In fact, the truth is, you're against democracy where the result doesn't suit you, and you're in favor of it where it does. Let's take one more email. Let's try and squeeze in one more email. My brother had a shop in Tehran which has been trashed. Why? He had a photograph of Ahmadinejad in his window. Why don't the Western media show this? That's from Roxana from Karaj, Iran. Well, windows sometimes get smashed in demonstrations, and it's a pity, but it's not the end of the world. Certainly no one should be killed for going on a demonstration, and I look forward to investigations into who actually killed who in the last week or so in Iran. You might be surprised at some of the results of those investigations. Let's hope that this can all calm down. Let's hope that dialogue and negotiation between the competing political forces in Iran can re-stabilize the country and can allow the country to move forward. I say hats off to the people of Iran. Hats off to you, the viewers of Comment here on Press TV with me, George Galloway. I'm here every week at this time for the big conversation, for the great debate. Until we meet again, God willing, may you go in peace.